better way to tell you than to say God's been good in my life. I feel blessed beyond my wildest dreams as I go to sleep each night. And though I've had my share of hard times, by my side
tonight. I was studying. We had the meeting, prayer meeting last night, or the camp meeting last night. And as soon as I get home, boy, I beat feet down to my study prayer room. And I was praying and begging God to give me a message so I could go to the camp meeting. Just a little bit, he just spoke to me. He said, Luke chapter number 12. I said, okay, Lord, Luke chapter 12. All right, Luke chapter 12. And I was sitting there, I said, all right, that's a pretty long chapter. Which verse? He said, verse 15. He said, verse number 15. I said, okay, Lord. At first, I thought this was for me. And I got to looking, and I seen that I was the epitome of sinless perfection, so I knew it couldn't be for me. So, y'all know that's a lie. You can laugh on that if you want to. Y'all know that's a lie. Now say amen. So, no, but that's just how I got the message. The Lord gave it to me, so I don't know who it's for. I don't know why I've got it. Honestly, I don't. I really don't. But I'm going to preach it. I know God give it to me. And so we're going to preach it. And we're going to do our very best to be in the grace of the Lord tonight and preach God's word. Amen. Look with us now in Luke chapter number 12. Luke chapter number 12. And let's just read verse number 15 through 21. Yeah, let's just read 15 through 21. The Bible says here in verse number 15, and he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. Did you notice that? Beware of covetousness. Now this is really what God really stirred my heart with. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth.
Yes, sir.
Boy, how we need to remember that. It's not about what we have or how much we have.
Amen.
He says plainly right here that our life, or a man's life, does not consist or consisteth not in the abundance. That means the multitude or the overage, if you will. If you got 14 cars in your driveway, that's not what your life is all about. Amen. Now, if you got two cars like me, then you're probably all right, and that's what you use to get around and do what you got to do. But what I'm saying is the abundance. Our life is not consistent with the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And then he goes right on into verse number 16 and look at the parable that he gave. Now you say, preacher, what brought all this on? There was two arguing about an inheritance. There was two people there. And they were arguing about who was going to get what. And so Jesus laid it on them. Amen. He says here in verse number 16, and he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruit? And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, I wonder if his soul said, what? You're all right as long as you don't answer yourself, right?
Yes,
amen. I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for the message tonight. I want to thank you, Lord, for every time that you've ever given me a message. And God, I know beyond any shadow of any doubt tonight you put this on my heart. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'd preach it through me. And I want to humble myself as much as I know how to do right now, Lord, that you might preach through me tonight. And that you might help these precious folk and that you might help me. And Lord, help me to glean what I need out of this message, Lord. I'm not above anybody else. Matter of fact, Lord, I know that I'm the one that gives me the most trouble. And so I pray tonight, dear Jesus, that you'd help all of us. And God, help us that we might come to the foot of the cross tonight. With humility and with contrition, realizing, Lord, just how filthy and wretched and vile this old flesh really is. And God, help us lean upon you, Lord Jesus, and to look into your precious word and allow you to do what's needed in our lives tonight. We thank you now. We love you, Jesus. And we give you praise and glory. And we ask all these things now in your precious and holy name for your sake. Amen. Now, you can take a message like this and get real mean, just tear everybody all to pieces, but that's not my goal tonight. My goal is not that. That's not really what's on my heart, to be quite honest. If it was, I'd do it, but it's not. But I wanted to give you this. I sat and studied this for 30 minutes, and I said, Lord, where's the message in this? He said, just get up and go on outside and rest your mind a minute. So I got up, and I went outside, and I walked around for a little while, and it just come to me just as clear. And while I was walking around out there in my yard, he spoke to my heart. And he said, three things to guard against covetousness. Three things to guard against covetousness. And you find them right here. You notice how he led off right here in verse number 15. Now, I told you there was two men came and they were arguing about their inheritance that their daddy had left them. And they wanted Jesus to decide who'd get what. And he had not been appointed as the executor of that inheritance, of that estate. And he said, who's made me judge over you? He said, hey. And then that's when he went in, he said, or a divider. Then in verse 15, that's where he says, take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, you know what covetousness is. It's when you desire something that somebody else has. The Bible says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, and things like that. He said, thou shalt not covet. And so when you begin to look, and whether it's a man or woman's spouse, or if it's If it's another a woman's family, if it's a man's family, if it's a home, if it's monetary things, if it's a bank account, if it whatever it might be, whenever we begin to look at what other people have and God has blessed them, and then we begin to desire those things, and boy, I wish I had that, I wish I had this. And I'll just tell you about me. I have to be really careful about this. I see sometimes other preachers, and I see the power of God on these men of God, and I look and I say, boy, I want to preach like that. But I got to preach like God tells me to preach. And I got to preach what God tells me to preach. There's some messages that I've heard that God will probably never let me preach, although I would sure love to. I mean, that's just something about a preacher. I guess nobody understands that but a preacher, but anyhow, you've got to be careful with these things. And so that's what I want to give you the message tonight, is three things to guard against covetousness. So Jesus goes on right here. He said, for a man's... If you don't get anything else out of this message tonight, I want you to remember verse 15. What he said, that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. If we ever get that nailed down in our hearts, if we ever really get that put down in our minds and our hearts, and we live that scripture, not just know what it says and says, oh yeah, that's right, oh yeah, but I'm talking about live it, yep. Nail it down, get it in our heart, let it sink down into our hearing. If we'll ever realize that, then a lot of things and a lot of emphasis and a lot of time that we spend trying to do all these things and get these things, and we just want a better life. Listen, I want a better life with Jesus, amen. I've heard it said all my life. I've heard it said, I want it better for my children than I had. Where's that at in the Bible? Where's that at in the Word of God, amen? Why is it not good enough if it was good enough for me? Why is it not good enough for my children, amen? I'm not against having good things and doing great things for your children, but I'm telling you, that's exactly what's wrong with our country tonight. That's what's wrong with our young people tonight. They've had everything handed to them, and they're a bunch of spoon-fed youngins running around, and they got no respect for anybody else. They don't have anything that they want to do for anybody else. All they care about is themselves. We've raised a whole generation exactly like that tonight because we wanted them to have it better than we had it. I don't know about you, but I had it pretty daggone good, amen. I had it pretty good around my house, and I tell you this right now, I want to do things for my children. It blesses my heart to be able to do things for my children, and I do things for my children. But I tell you right now, the emphasis in our life ought to be right here where he said that the man's life consisteth not of the things which he possesseth. Our emphasis of our life is not in what we can possess and what we can have and what we can show forth to the world. What we need to be looking at is what we've done for Jesus. Amen. So I want to show you this tonight. A lot of times when God blesses us real good and we look at somebody else and they may not have all the monetary things that another person has. If that person that's got all those things, they've got to be real careful because they'll begin to look down their nose and say, well, God hasn't blessed you as good as he has me. And I tell you what, you need to be real careful about that because you don't know it all. And I tell you what, that person may have a lot more blessings internally than what the other one does externally, amen. There may be a whole lot going on the inside of that person that's a whole lot more of a blessing, amen. They may have a better mother and daddy, amen. They may have a better children. They may have better a hope in their life, and they may have things that's in their life that are just bringing more glory unto God, amen. Amen, that's right. And so I want to give you this quickly as I can. Three things to guard against covetousness. The first one we find all three of them right here in this passage, in this parable that he gave us. Now look what he said. Let's take a gander at it, if you will. Look at verse number 16. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a rich man brought forth plentifully. Did he deserve it? Probably not. Do any of us deserve it? No. We don't deserve what God does for us. Amen. You say, well, I do. I worked hard. Well, who gave you the strength? Yes, sir. Amen. Amen. Who gave you the knowledge? Yeah. Who gave you the strength in your back and your arms and your legs and your feet and your hands when you put your feet on the floors in the morning and get up and get ready to go to work and provide and do it? Who gave you the strength to do all of that? It was the Lord Jesus, amen.
Yes,
He's the one that gives us that strength.
Amen.
Look at verse 17. We find our first guard, I guess you could say. Our first guard here. Look what he says in verse 17. And he thought within himself. Amen. We need to guard against thinking within ourselves. I done hit it a little bit, but we're raising a whole generation tonight that cares nothing about anybody around them.
Amen.
We're raising a whole generation tonight that they've got their mind and their minds and their goals are just set on themselves and what they can do. We're raising a whole generation today, and part of that generation is my generation. And our generation is coming up with a spoon in their mouth. This generation is coming up having everything handed to them.
Yeah.
They've got everything they want. If they need anything, it's just laid right out to them. And they don't have to work for nothing, amen? I'm glad tonight my daddy right there made me do some things. I'm glad my daddy made me earn some things around my house. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'm glad tonight to know that, listen, there was a generation that was before us that knew how to raise children that said, hey, if you want anything, you're going to have to earn it. You're going to have to work for it because it makes you appreciate it. Amen. My daddy used to tell me, if you want to burn the tires off of your car, go ahead. But you're going to buy the next one, amen. You're going to buy the next set. That's right. That taught me right quick. I didn't want to be burning the tires off, amen. Listen, I'm talking about people that think of themselves. Let me see if I can find it for you right quick over in 2 Timothy. Chapter number 3. The Bible tells us that in the last days, he's speaking in chapter 3 of 2 Timothy, he's talking about the last days. Now, let's begin reading in verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. Amen. Now, I just about missed it. The very first one that I mentioned right there was in verse number 2. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I said the first guard we need to put up is thinking within yourself. Amen. Hey, I want you to know tonight, until you and I begin to think outside of me and my four and no more, amen. Hey, until we begin to think about what others need, you'll never know the joy of salvation, amen. You'll never know the joy of serving God. Hey, and you'll go in your life always wanting something that somebody else has already got, amen. It's when you and I, we reach out and we try to do things for others. I'm not talking about to get to heaven. I'm not saying that you got to do these things to be saved. I'm saying for the joy and the victory of God. Amen. And to keep that covetousness out of your life, you need to think beyond yourself. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I meant to say this on the onset of the message. I almost forgot it, but I'm going to probably say it again when I get done. When individuals begin to think like this and they begin to covet, listen to me. When individuals begin to do this, it won't be very long. You mark her down, the church will begin to do that. Because, see, everybody's got the same idea. It's all about me. It's all about what I can get out of it. What can the church do for me? What can my nation do for me? What can my president do for me? What can all everybody else around me do for me? And we get this idea that we used to call them that one word, but now we've changed the word. It's called teenagers. Amen. But anyway, they think somebody owes them something. Amen. We've got a whole generation today that thinks that everybody around them owes them something. And when you begin to think within yourself, and that's as far as you ever get, I'm not saying that you can't sit down and look within yourself. I'm saying when all you think about is yourself all the time, there's something wrong with you. Exactly right. So the first guard is thinking within yourself. You remember what he said In Luke chapter number 10, let's back up a page or two. In verse number 27, in Luke chapter 10, verse 27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. You remember what, well, let's just back up to verse 26. Behold, a certain lawyer looked up and stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. Do you know what you get when you take the neighbor out of neighborhood? You ain't got nothing but a hood left, amen?
Yes, sir.
That's right. Yeah. That's what's wrong with this place right now. Yeah. So many people is, I'm going to do for me because ain't nobody else going to take care of me. Well, you may be right about half of that, amen? There may not be nobody else to take care of you, but there'll be one. If you're saved tonight, there's one that'll take care of you, and his name is Jesus, amen? Hey, he wants to take care of us. He wants to do for us. He wants us to lean on him. He don't want us to be consumed with what I can get out of life out for me, amen? No man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself. You don't live your life for you. Here we find the good Samaritan. And that smart aleck lawyer says, well, who's my neighbor? He goes back and trying to trip Jesus up. And of course, you know the parable or the thing that he gave there, the story that he told, how that Samaritan was there and or that man fell among thieves, and he went down and he went down there and he fell among thieves, and then there was two that passed by there and they looked at him. What'd they do? The priest and the Levite, they went by and they looked at him and said, well, I ain't going over there and messing with him. I might get my garments dirty, amen. I might have to actually stop doing what I'm doing. Hey, let me say this. If you're too busy to help people, you're too busy, amen. If I'm too busy to help folk, then we're just too busy, amen. We need to just cut our ties to some things and get in this thing and help one another, amen. That's exactly right. I'll tell you right now, but there was one called the Samaritan that went by. And when he went over to him, you know, something inside of him happened. Something happened down inside of him. And something inside of him began to reach out to that man that was stuck down there in that ditch. You know what was happening to him? That man knew that he needed to be thinking about somebody besides himself. Amen.
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 Right. Amen.
If we spend more time thinking about others and seeing what we can do and looking around and seeing how I can help somebody else, we wouldn't have near as much time to fuss and gripe and groan and moan about our own situation.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
You're right, brother.
Exactly right.
So the first thing we need to watch tonight is thinking of within ourselves. You look at this man right here. What'd he do? He said he thought within himself, saying, verse 17, back over in our text, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. Look at this. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. No doubt about it, was it? He says right here, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. Amen? And I will say to my soul. That part he got right. Because his soul does belong to him. That's the one part of us that God did give us.
Yes, sir.
The soul, the spirit, and the flesh belong to God. Amen? But this man right here was so consumed with himself. All he could look at is here he was. God had blessed him with a bounty. I mean, blessed him with plenty. And he looked around and he said, rather than looking around and seeing if there was anybody that he could help, rather than looking around and saying, I wonder if I might help old Joe down the street. I wonder if I might be able to help so-and-so. I wonder what I can do to make a difference. Well, I don't have room for all of this anyway. But what did he do? He went just the opposite direction. And he said, no, I know what I'll do. I'll spend more to keep more. That's about stupid. I bet you, for truth be known, he's probably spent as much, or he would have, spent as much on these barns, rebuilding them, tearing down the old ones and rebuilding new ones, as the overage that he would have had. And I bet he would have just broke even. Amen. And he'd been better off and got a blessing. How often is it that we've got a little piece of money that we don't really need it per se? I mean, sure, we could use a little extra something, but then we run across somebody that we know might be having a little tough time. They spent some time in a hospital or whatever the case might be, and they're having a little tough time. And the Holy Spirit of God speaks to our heart and says, "Won't you slip them a 20 or a 10 or a 50 or a 100? Why don't you just slip them a little piece of money there?" And you say, "I don't know. I better keep a hold of that. I might need that later on."
An invitation he did.